You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, while raising children in the middle of chickens and fields of crops might sound like a great childhood experience, many farmers are struggling with the workload of the farm and the needs of their children. We'll talk to a reporter about the challenges facing young families in the farming business. First, conservatives are calling a recent state Supreme Court decision a victory for academic freedom. On Friday, the court said Marquette University improperly suspended John McAdams, an associate professor of political science. In a November 2014 blog post, he criticized a student teacher for telling her class that because everybody agrees with gay rights, there's no reason to discuss it in the context of the class. He also linked to an article on her personal website. She received threats after that blog post. Marquette suspended McAdams without pay, saying his conduct, quote, painted a target, end quote, on the back of a graduate student. But in a 4-2 ruling, the state Supreme Court said McAdams' contract guaranteed academic freedom and ordered his reinstatement with back pay. In response, Marquette attorney Ralph Weber said the court took away the university's power to defend its students.
Private institutions need to have the ability to protect and enforce their mission-critical values. As a Catholic Jesuit university, Marquette's core values do not include professors cyberbullying students. So as a private institution, it's concerning that the court has stepped in this instance and prevented those core values from being defended.
In a statement, Marquette said it will consider revising its policies. John McAdams, the professor at the center of the story, joined us earlier today. John, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, good to be here.
Well, it's been a few years since this all started. How does it feel now to ultimately have this verdict from the state's Supreme Court?
Well, it's some combination of elation and relief. It's just good to be sort of out of limbo, to have a resolution. It's been, 3.5 years of various proceedings, depositions, hearings, trials, and it's seemed to go on and on, so it was time for it to end.
Now, for you, apart from your personal career, what were the issues at stake for professors in this case?
Well, one was Marquette's contractual guarantee of free expression. Marquette not only guarantees faculty academic freedom, which you can sort of make it a vague concept if you want to, but they also guarantee all the rights of expression in the U.S. Constitution. That includes the First Amendment. That is pretty precise. The exceptions to free speech in the First Amendment, things like perjury or libel or incitement, are pretty precisely defined and very narrow. So that's a very strong protection for free expression.
Now, Marquette has argued during the case and since the ruling that this wasn't about academic freedom and free speech, but a kind of a workplace issue involving their mission to protect the students. In this case, they say protecting a student, a graduate teaching assistant, from harassment. What do you say to their argument along those lines?
Well, if you call my blog post harassment, then any journalism constitutes harassment. Interesting that they talk about protecting students, because I was protecting an undergraduate in this graduate instructor's class. She wasn't a mere teaching assistant, which might imply, oh, she just ran discussion sections. She was the instructor of record in the course. She'd taught it several times before. From the standpoint of the student, she was the professor, and she pretty much demeaned him for simply wanting to express opposition to gay marriage. So it's interesting that Marquette seems to want to protect an abusive graduate instructor and not an undergraduate. The Department of Philosophy chair referred to the undergraduate as an insolent little twerp. And told him he needed to change his attitude. He, in effect, was harassed.
And Marquette had also said in a statement that if you had brought up the issue, not mentioned the student instructor by name, not linking to the personal site, which, given the way the internet works, I think they were saying that opened the door to harassment, they might have reacted differently. What's your response?
Well, the fact that I named her and she got some unkind email gave them a pretext for trying to get rid of me, although I think they'd wanted to do that a long time. I've hung out a lot of Marquette's dirty linen. First of all, two things. Number one, I did not link to her contact information. I linked to an essay on her site about how all men are responsible for the prevalence of rape. I did that, and frankly, to show the sort of person she is. You know, all men, your dad, your brother, cops who arrest rapists, yeah. On that essay was not any contact information. Had someone dug around her publicly accessible blog, it was about three clicks, if you knew where to click, yeah, you could find her email address. But I didn't link to any page that had her email address. Number two, standard journalism involves when you are talking about someone's misconduct, you use their name. Several days ago, remember, a congressional intern shot out in the vicinity of Donald Trump in the Capitol Rotunda. You can search that issue on, say, Google News. Her name was Caitlin Marriott, and you'll find that essentially every article that discusses that names her. That's normal journalistic practice, in spite of the fact that she was an intern with no authority over anyone. And Cheryl Abate, the graduate instructor I named, was the instructor of record in the class. She was in a position of authority over her students. So, yeah, you know, Marquette, in fact, has sort of concocted something there.
Talking to political scientist John McAdams from Marquette University about a recent Supreme Court ruling in a case involving him and the university, issues of academic freedom and free speech. John, if this case had gone the other way, what would be your concerns for employees of universities, faculty in particular?
Well, here's an important thing to remember. At Marquette, a private university does not have to guarantee academic freedom, but Marquette does in its contracts with faculty. Most reputable private universities do. That's what they need to do to attract good faculty. At public institutions, they are inherently protected by the First Amendment. If Marquette could weasel around those protections by claiming after the fact that I shouldn't have put up that blog post, notwithstanding that I didn't break any rule, that there was no precedent saying that I couldn't, they just judged after the fact that I had been quote-unquote reckless, then First Amendment protections, either in the public sector for state schools or private schools that guarantee it in their contracts, it wouldn't mean much. You could simply, after the fact, if there was some expression you didn't like from a professor, judge that, well, this was somehow unprofessional or uncollegial or reckless or whatever. So it would largely vitiate the protection that the faculty have. Happily, with this particular outcome, which, by the way, is not binding on federal courts or not binding on state courts anywhere but Wisconsin, but yes, lawyers do cite cases from other states. It does matter.
Do you feel that you were treated in a particular way here because of your partisan political beliefs?
Yes and no, okay? A lot of conservatives, I'm actually a sort of a libertarian politically, but a conservative socially, a lot of conservatives on college campuses keep their heads down. So if I'd been a conservative who kept his head down, I would have probably been okay. If I'd been a conservative who maybe voiced conservative opinions but didn't criticize things going on at the institution, I probably would have been okay. But anyone who checks my blog starting in 2005 will see I often criticize Marquette's bureaucrats for what they do. So I think that was it, not just being a conservative. and not entirely just being an outspoken conservative, but being someone who is willing to hang out Marquette's dirty laundry.
People listening who might work in a private business might say, hey, if I started a blog criticizing my employer, they'd soon be my ex-employer. Why are universities different when it comes to, say, a faculty's right to criticize bite the hand that feeds them, I guess?
Well, number one, faculties. Universities generally, even private universities that could restrict speech, usually provide for faculty a contractual guarantee of free speech. Joe's sheet metal probably doesn't do that. If you're Joe's employee and criticize Joe, he'll probably fire you. Although Joe could guarantee his employees free speech in their contracts if he wanted to, but he pretty much never wants to. Universities are all about speech. Why, you know, there's no particular reason somebody working in Joe's sheet metal shop particularly needs to, you know, speak out against Joe or speak out about political topics. Since universities are all about speech, having a robust norm of free speech is particularly appropriate in universities. And, of course, leftists at Marquette have sometimes been quite outspoken criticizing the university. When the university, for example, started to hire and then didn't hire a lesbian arts and science dean in 2010, a lot of faculty spoke out in opposition to that, signed petitions, bought an ad in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, et cetera. In other words, they spoke out and they had every right to do that.
Looking ahead, when are you going to be back in the classroom?
That's still up in the air, certainly no later than next spring. It's kind of late to schedule me for the fall, but that's not entirely impossible. We'll see. I mean, that's the sort of thing that gets hashed out between my lawyers and officials at Marquette.
Somebody came and asked you, hey, John, should I send my kid to Marquette? What do you tell them?
That's a complicated question. I have a lot more reservations about that than I would have 20 or 30 years ago. Not only is Marquette more politically correct, but Marquette has radically watered down the curriculum. You can graduate from Marquette under the new, quote-unquote, reformed curriculum with only one course in philosophy, one course in theology, no history courses. If you get a Bachelor of Arts that traditionally has had a foreign language requirement, you know, it's two semesters where it used to be four. So I would frankly have some reservations about making a strong recommendation. Sometimes people ask me, if you don't think so well of Marquette, why do you want to go back? The answer is the students who do come there are pretty good. It's quite enjoyable to teach those students. So, yeah, I'll be back.
John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
John McAdams is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. We talked with him about last week's state Supreme Court ruling that the school improperly suspended him after he criticized a graduate student instructor on his blog and linked to her personal website.